Hours before Jesus died for the sins of the world, he prayed to his Father in Matthew 26, verse 39, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He prayed a second time, verse 42, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And then he went a third time, in verse 44, and prayed the same words. The one we are following, Jesus Christ, was both God and man. And the reason that you and I are saved is because he did the Father's will instead of his own will. Instead of following what he wanted to do, he did what the Father wanted him to do. We often pray that God's will be done. Do we live each day of our lives focused on what God wants, what God's will is? Or have we been lulled into thinking that whatever we will is what God is pleased with? I want to talk a little bit about doing things according to God's will tonight. And first of all, I want us to consider some things about God's will. First of all, God has a prescribed will. And that will is the New Testament. That will is the Bible. Of course, we have things about God's will for Israel in the Old Testament. But we live under the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And last quarter, we looked at the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and we made the point that the Sermon on the Mount is not about religious people versus irreligious people, but is rather about authentic followers of Jesus, contrasted with those that are just merely religious. And I know there's a lot of people today that say, well, who do you think are the only people going to heaven? Well, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, that the only people that are going to heaven are those that do the Father's will. That's what Jesus' answer to that question is. In verse 21 of Matthew 7, he says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And so following God's prescribed will is absolutely essential if we're going to go to heaven. And the world tries to get us to have our affections to do things other than God's will, to not want to do his will. But if we truly love God, we'll want to do his will above whatever temptations come our way. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. This world passes away, and the lust thereof." But then notice this. "But he that doeth the will of the Father," the will of God, "he will abide forever." And so you have God's prescribed will that is revealed for us in the pages of Scripture. And this is his intentional will. This is what he intends for us to do in order to be saved. You know, God is not somebody that has just arbitrarily chosen who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, regardless of what they have to do with it. There's a lot of religious teaching out there that teaches that, that God just chooses or predestinates people to be saved or lost. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to be saved. His will is that all men will be saved and come to the truth. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's prescribed will is for us to follow his word and to go to heaven. That's what God wants for us. Sadly, however, a lot of people don't do that. They won't follow his will because they've been duped into thinking that whatever they want at the moment will make them happy. And a lot of times, we just aren't really very good at figuring out what's going to make us happy in the long term, and especially what's going to make us happy eternally. But the religious world is filled with people today just saying, "Well, I think God wants me to do this," not even considering what his prescribed will has for us. Now, secondly, there's a permissive will of God. And I think this is important because sometimes, you know, when something bad happens, sometimes people will say, you know, "Well, it must have been God's will." Ephesians 1:11 says that God works everything according to the counsel of his will. But that doesn't mean that everything that happens is something that God desires. Sometimes he just permits things to happen. You know, Paul, a lot of times in his travels, would talk about if God permits, he would do this or that. Especially with Corinth, when he was leaving Corinth in Acts 8:21, he bid them farewell and he says, I will return again to you if God will. And when he wrote the second letter to them, the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians, he says in chapter 16 and verse 7, I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, notice this, if the Lord permit. And so in our prayer lives, a lot of times we say, if it's according to your will, because we don't know if God permits this to happen or not. We don't want to be like the people described in James chapter 4, those men that say, we're going to go into a city, we're going to buy and sell, we're going to get all this money, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Your life's a vapor, appears for a short time and then vanishes away. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, verse 15, we'll do this or that. You don't know if God is going to permit you to have another day on this earth. And so God permits man to have a free will, to choose to do right or wrong. And that's why his prescribed will is sometimes not followed, because God has actually given us the ability to have a will of our own that sometimes goes in contrast to his will. Jesus said, you remember in John chapter 5 and verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we find the invitation given, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. But there are a lot of people that do not will to come to him. And so God does permit them to choose their own way. He permits them to have their own will. And there are certain fixed laws that God has set in place that are not going to be suspended just because I may be harmed. And so I ought to be careful by saying, well, you know, this person died. It must be God, must be the will of God. I don't know how that helps anybody. I don't know how that helps the sufferer. You don't know that that was necessarily God's ultimate will that that person died. All you know is that God permitted it. And God's permissive will may be changed by our prayers. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5, verse 16. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, if we confess our sins, you know, that we know he hears us. We have this confidence, and he'll give life for those. And so we trust in the power of prayer because God's permissive will may change. And may I also say this, that there are sometimes conditions that happen in life where God's intentional will has been thwarted by other people's sins. And because of that, God permits certain things to happen. One example is Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus says there, whoever puts away his wife except it be for fornication and marries another commits adultery. But you notice there's that exception there. When you read Genesis 2, when God made Adam and Eve, or when you read Matthew 19 and look at verse 4, how God does not want man, you know, what he's joined together to be put asunder, it's God, not God's will that when a man and woman are married, that they should depart from one another and be married to somebody else. That's not, his intention is one man for one woman for a lifetime. However, if somebody does commit fornication, there is a permission, not a requirement, but there is permission for them to put their spouse away and marry somebody else. And so sometimes, because of other people's sins, there are conditions that arise that may abort God's intentional will for our lives. But finally, the third thing I think we should think about, not only, you know, does God have this prescribed will, which we would call the intentional will, or his permissive will, which, you know, we just talked about, but God also has a predetermined will. That is his ultimate will. That is, these are things that are going to happen regardless of what any man might try to do about it. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8, God says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I will also do it. There are some things that God has predetermined, he has ultimately willed, that neither you nor I nor any individual on the face of this earth who has ever lived or ever will live can change. One of those things, you know, in Acts chapter 2, when it talks about Jesus' crucifixion, it says that he was delivered by the determinate counsel or purpose and foreknowledge of God. That was part of God's purpose. And something that's going to happen one day is there is going to be a judgment day. Heaven and hell are predetermined paths. Of course, we get to choose which one we're going to. But there is a heaven and there is a hell, and God has predetermined those paths, and we get to choose which one. In Acts chapter 17, Paul said to those at Athens, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and that he's given assurance unto all men, and that he's raised him from the dead." God has made an appointment for a final day of judgment. And none of us can change that. None of us can do anything that's going to remove that day of judgment. Be assured of this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's coming a day, 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us, when Christ is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that obey not the gospel, that do not know God. And they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. And he's also going to come in that day and be glorified with his saints, as we just sang about that glorious day. And so he's going to be glorified among those that believe. Which one of these will we be in? It's going to happen. And so we have to deal with it now or later. And it's better to deal with it now than to be surprised later. Are you following God's prescribed will? You know, it's not just calling him Lord. It's not just being religious. You've got to do the will of the Father if you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. If you're outside of Christ, what you have to do to be in Christ and to follow his prescribed will is to believe the gospel, John 8:24, repent of your sins, Acts 2:38, confess Christ before men, Romans 10:10, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 22, verse 16. Maybe you've done those first things and wandered away and you're not following his prescribed will. We invite you to come back and confess your sins to him, as wide as it's known, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're thankful that God has a conditional will, that based on our reaction to him, he will react accordingly. And so we plead with you tonight to make sure that you are following the prescribed will of God and not your own will as you go through this path of life. Will you come while together we stand, while we sing?
Waiting, waiting in the calm, he will bear you gently, gently to his fold. See him soul and open. Forever.